Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 3rd of May, recording at 5:12 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now first, I'll just mention that this is much earlier than I normally record, as this posting of Comment of the Day. I do have the occasional evening function, and tonight and also tomorrow night are examples of that. I hope you don't mind too much, but there's plenty to comment on. And first, a quick look at the highlights here today. And the Asian stock markets were mostly a bit easier, although the China A shares, which had been weaker last week, were a bit firmer. India was probably the biggest decliner overall, quite a sharp fall on a 50 basis point rate hike, which was larger than had been expected. And some of the recent front runners here, such as Thailand, had downward dynamics off their highs in here today. In Europe, stock markets are mostly lower. The UK is an exception, with a modest gain here, but less than a quarter of a percent as I speak. And in the Americas, we have mostly weaker stock markets, although the Dow is currently 25 points higher. But we've got the S&P down a point and a half as I speak, and the NASDAQ is down about half a percentage point. Overall, long-dated government bond prices are mixed here today. The U.S. bond prices are, long-dated government bond prices are a little bit firmer, although they have pared back gains, and the euro bunds are a little bit easier here today. In one of the the most dramatic story of the day, I should say, concerns silver, and that's been pretty much the story for a number of days now, where we're getting a very considerable amount of volatility. For instance, the range on silver today is 45.60 to the upside and 42.97 to the downside, and it's currently at 43.57. That's down $2.50. So this really has been choppy and volatile, and more on that in a moment. Gold market is a little bit easier here today, but well off its lows, largely because a moderate dollar rally has been reversed. today, dollar was strong this morning, but the dollar index has now moved to the downside, currently down at 72.90. But gold, for instance, is currently at 15.43. That's down just over $2, but it had been down as low as 15.25. Declines have also been paired by palladium, although still down on the day, having seen a new high for this year yesterday, and also on Friday. The palladium price is actually slightly higher on the day. It's 787. Okay, what else to mention? The industrial metals mixed in here today, although copper, which had underperformed recently, is having a reasonable day. It's up 6 cents in New York at 425.70 as I speak. Crude oil is down today. The WTI crude is down about $1.10. That's brought it back to 112.40. And let me just check the Brent Brent crude, which is down a dollar and a quarter at 123.88. And that's, well, I should mention in the grain and bean complex, soybeans a little easier here today, as is corn. The main change in the sector is rough rice, which had a good day yesterday and has seen some upside follow through here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, the stock markets are still caught in that tug of war, what I've also referred to as a scrum between the tailwind of accommodative monetary conditions, although they are somewhat less accommodative than they were, not least in the emerging growth economies. And the headwind of these higher commodity prices. And that's a story that's been with us for a while and really is going to remain with us. So that main monetary accommodation is still coming from the United States and perhaps from Japan, and we still have negative interest rates in a number of countries. But the growth economies, as I've mentioned, is not just India, which raised its rate by 50 basis points here today, but the growth economies have been pushing up their interest rates to head off higher inflation pressures. Now, monetary policy is a bit of a blunt instrument to deal with what is this primarily food and energy price inflation, although in the growth economies, inflation has also been experienced in wages, although very little of that in the West, as Westerners will certainly be well aware. Now, my feeling is that if you get commodity prices remaining firm, that will eventually win out that headwind, and it will weaken stock markets, particularly as central banks capitulate and start to raise rates. So we're still in this choppy, ranging phase here overall, and the U.S. indices have really defied that overall pattern here in the last week or two. I think they will struggle to maintain gains overall. There was the so-called bin Laden bounce yesterday, and that's pretty much petered out in here today. And I think this overall choppy ranging activity is likely to weigh on the U.S. a little bit. Yes, the S&P and the Dow and the Nasdaq have broken out to the upside of their trading ranges, but my hunch is that they may struggle to maintain those gains and are likely to pull back somewhat. So the reality is that you and I can only deal with what the markets provide, and this remains a bit of a tricky environment here in the short term for stock markets. If favored positions for the long term, such as India, pull back more sharply, that would, in my opinion, create another buying opportunity. But it's in a bit of a no man's land here right now, and I wouldn't pay up for anything in stock markets in this environment. With a little respite on the commodity price inflation, it could set us up for a good fourth quarter of this year. But I expect more of the same choppy action that we've seen here recently. I don't think we need to cash up and run for the hills, but equally, I would be cautious about committing much new money here. And where you do commit new money, I would tend to favor some of the high-yielding dividend aristocrats that we've talked about and that Owen has illustrated on so many occasions over the last few months. And just search under aristocrats if you want to want to find some of those. But the point I want to emphasize is that I wouldn't pay up for anything. Okay. What about this silver overall? Well, I keep receiving emails from people supplying reports telling me that, telling all of us that silver should be not at $50 but at over $100, that it's going to go vastly higher for all and sundry different reasons. Well, on a very long-term basis, I agree with that. And I agree with that because this is a secular bull market, and all one of the reasons or contributing factor or tailwind behind the secular bull market, it's not just global demand, although that's very strong for all of these commodities, where there's a supply and elasticity factor as well, but we have the monetary printing machines continuing to run, and we know that the U.S., at least according to the Fed governor, Ben Bernanke, has indicated that it isn't going to raise rates anytime soon. And even though QE2 will be allowed to expire at the end of June, that the Fed will keep rolling forward and reinvesting its own expiring purchases of bonds. And the Fed is now the biggest holder of U.S. Treasury debt. So those rates are going to remain low for quite some time, and I don't think any realist is in any doubt that the U.S.'s grand strategy here is to inflate away as much of its debt as it can get away with. So that's a long-term bullish recipe for precious metals, but when you get the type of upward acceleration that we saw with silver, I think culminating in that high on the 25th of April, when it nearly reached 50. Subsequently, we've had a failed test of that level, we've now seen it pull lower in here, and this looks to me very much as like an accelerated peak of at least near-term significance. Silver is due for some mean reversion towards its rising 200-day moving average, and that's really what I expect. Now, to offset that, were silver to maintain a break above the $50 level, I would reappraise my view overall, but I think it's more likely that we get this ranging around, encountering resistance from the highs that we've seen to date, and experiencing a mean reversion. And I also feel that the window of opportunity here in precious metals is closing here for the short term. Although it's likely to open again come late August and September, in line with the seasonal factors that we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, when silver had a look at its high at 50 last week, that enabled gold to run ahead, and also palladium to, palladium was steady, but platinum to a lesser extent, as platinum did hit a new high for the year, as did gold. Again, I think gold looks a bit overextended relative to its 200-day moving average, although not nearly so overextended as silver had become. So in the short term here, I would be a bit cautious I think that's mostly a message to futures traders, and I'm happy to watch the show here from the sidelines. I don't want to go in and short these precious metals because they are in a secular bull market, and maybe I'm being too conservative, and perhaps a mania does take hold sooner rather than later. But equally, I'm quite happy to, well, more than equally, I'm quite happy to wait here for the reaction and consolidation that technical and seasonal factors suggest is the more likely outcome. Now, for investors who are holding gold bullion in the they're holding the gold bullion funds, I don't think you need to worry overly about it as long as you're not too fussed if we get a $100 to $150 setback in gold bullion. That may sound like a lot, but it's not all that much in percentage terms. And I've said before that I felt that the risk was a bit higher in silver, and that I wouldn't be surprised if it came back to at least the $40 level, and I think we've been within a $2 and change of that so far. So, but the point I'm trying to make here is that those who are holding gold bullion funds, as long as you know that there are some near-term risks, I don't think one needs to be overly concerned about those positions. Equally, is this a great time to go in and increase a holding in a gold bullion fund, let alone a silver bullion fund? And the short answer to that is no, in my opinion. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? The prices have edged higher here recently. I think that partly reflects just the ranging top building process that's taking place in the bond futures, the base building process, in other words, in the long-dated government bond yields. But I think the bond investors are also sensing that global GDP growth is going to slow down somewhat due to the moderate oil spike. Price or oil price spike, I beg your pardon, that we saw. And that is a bit of a headwind for global GDP growth. And the other areas where we see commodity price inflation are not helpful in terms of global GDP growth either. So I think bond markets have responded to that a little bit. My view is that this rally in bond futures prices probably doesn't have much further to go, but we will need to see a clear downward dynamic on the charts to indicate that that rally is over, and that hasn't occurred yet. And crude oil prices still a matter of concern. They mentioned that they're down a dollar or so here today, but the action has been steadier than I would like to see in terms of the global economy. And there are still some risks in here to the upside, but as long as we don't get another significant spike to the upside in oil prices, and I'm hoping that that will be avoided. I think that would be largely due to political concerns over supply, rather than an increase in demand. I'm sure that would be the story, because I don't think demand is increasing at this time, against the higher price background. If anything, it's abating somewhat. Remember, as I've said on so many occasions, that oil prices remain a game changer. And if we were to see another significant spike to the upside anytime soon, that would cause additional problems for global GDP growth and also for stock market performance. And on that note, I'm going to draw this broadcast to a close, and we'll hopefully have a somewhat less scratchy voice for tomorrow's audio. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.